and welcome to the Laughing Place podcast. I am your host, Doobie, and today I'm joined by, back from, what, beyond the grave, Captain John?
Yeah, call it that, yeah.
Is that what Dallas is, beyond the grave?
that's nowhere near. See, if they would have just stuck with beyond the grave, then it would have sounded more adventurous.
Yeah, John, you're always adventurous. That's why you're the captain.
See, I was thinking John's always dead.
John's always dead?
Today I'm dead.
You listen to him.
Hello.
I mean, he's halfway back from the grave. Anyway, fanboy.
Hi, everybody.
And Rebecca, my lovely and talented wife.
Good morning. How come my cell phone still
says... good morning?
Yeah, I know. It's weird. I won't say good morning.
She can say good morning.
She can say good morning. It's just... I'm not used to hearing good morning. We record these usually the day before we put them up. Usually we record them in the evening. Today we're recording in the morning. So, good morning, everyone.
I want to know why my cell phone's still an hour off.
Oh, man. Well, who's your provider?
I think it's Verizon.
Yeah, that's Verizon.
If anyone from Verizon is listening, we have a challenge for you. You need to rise to the level of CNN headline news and change your clock exactly to... o'clock Eastern time for that time zone and each time zone subsequent for daylight savings time.
Thank you.
Actually, that's a pocket PC, so I'm guessing it's the operating system that's the issue, not the cell phone.
Oh, never mind. Microsoft, I have a challenge for you.
Anyway.
Yeah. My bad for Verizon folks. Don't want to scare you. I'm sure you do a wonderful job.
866-718-9408. Always want to hear from you. Also, podcast at laughingplace.com. We've got some good input this week we're going to hear from. And let's get started. I think the big story, well, if you're a Disney geek like us, the big story this week was Rapunzel and all the controversy surrounding that. It started last week. We discussed how that wasn't mentioned in the annual shareholder meeting. And then Jim Hill Media had an article this week which said the following. He said, Lasseter has supposedly told Glenn Keane, who is the director of the film, that he has until June to get all of Rapunzel's story problems resolved. At that time, John Lasseter and Ed Catmull want Glenn's film up on reels, and they'll then screen the work-in-progress version of this proposed animated feature. And if Rapunzel still has significant story problems at that point, well, they'll either cancel the project, take the project away from Keane, or assign a co-director to work with Keane. Now, all three of those would be big, big news. Glenn Keane is one of the big names in the recent history of Disney animation. And that was interesting. Anybody have any thoughts on it at that point before we...
Well, I remember prior to the Pixar acquisition, Glenn Keane was a guy that would drag out whenever they needed to show, hey, we didn't lose all our animators. And because, you know, they're... Andreas Deja didn't want it to do computer animation, so he was out. Clemens and Musker left. And so basically it was Glenn Keane. And I find it interesting that his project, I mean, I guess American Dog 2 had some challenges, but I find it interesting that now his ship might be less sturdy.
Just to get a visual for me, Glenn Keane, he's the one where whenever they show the beast and they talk about animation, yeah, he's the one doing waving the cape. Okay, yes, just wanted to make sure I had the right guy.
As opposed to Ruben Aquino, is the guy whenever they talk about Ursula who starts moving his hands like...
Right.
Yeah. Like, who's the one that dances like Baloo?
That's Ollie Johnston. Okay. Yeah. All
right.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I had the right person in mind.
So anyway, that's the controversy, so to speak, coming from Jim Hill on this. And so we asked our animation quote insider to give us his thoughts on that. That would be Rhett Wickham, who writes regularly for LaughingPlace.com, and he was kind enough to send us this.
Hey, Doobie, and hey, Rebecca, and hey, Laughing Place podcast listeners. This is Rhett Wickham. I wanted to address the speculation that's been floating around as to why Rapunzel was not mentioned at the recent Disney shareholders meeting. Folks, we need to remember, this is a Disney feature animation under the administration of John Lasseter and Ed Catmull, and that means we're going to see them behaving as they did with Pixar. They do not talk about any project until they're ready to, and it is not any indication of their enthusiasm, excitement, or faith in a project. It's simply when they're ready to discuss it, they do, and until then, they leave it alone to let it be dealt with internally in the delicate process of the development of a story. I have spoken to one of the most highly regarded and long-standing officials within Walt Disney Feature Animation who has told me personally that he has spoken to John Lasseter who has told him, quote, he is very pleased with the progress of Rapunzel and very excited about the project and looking forward to Glenn's work on it, unquote. The screening that happened recently was a regularly scheduled screening of the story reels. The screening set for June is just another screening regularly scheduled in that process. It is not a deadline by which the artists are held to perform and deliver or else. There is no truth to the speculation of Glenn being replaced or having a co-director brought on board. There is no threat to Glenn or this project. That is a ridiculous rumor, and it is unfounded. So, folks, let's just face it. Ever since Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, it has taken some time to find the right way to tell the story to an audience, and nothing is any different with Rapunzel. And, indeed, both John and Glenn are pleased and excited with the progress. So, that's the story. Looking forward to hearing more on podcast, and thank you for your time. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Thanks very much, Rhett. That was interesting. Opposite sides of the coin there. It must be difficult being Disney these days with the constant scrutiny they are under and the obvious leaks that go on as well. I mean, who knows what went into the creation of classics like Snow White, Pinocchio, Jungle Book, and yet here we are all along the way seeing complete scrutiny of Rapunzel, which, you know, 50 years ago we would just see the resulting movie and not know any of this. What's your hunch, fanboy, on what's actually going on here?
If I had to pick what's going on, I would have to probably agree with Rhett. Does the story have problems? Of course it does. Snow White had problems. Every story has problems. That's why, you know, the movies tend to be good, is because they focus on the problems as opposed to a quick live action movie where they just sort of make it and, you know, get it done and release it. They spend a lot of time working on things, making sure it's perfect. And so I'm sure it has problems, but I probably agree with Rhett, that based on my perspective, Glenn's not in trouble. Not saying that he's, you know, has a halo around him, but he has his time to tell his story.
I thought the interesting point that Rhett made for me was the difference in operating style, bringing in Lasseter and Catmull. The fact that it's true, with Pixar, you often didn't hear anything. They were a much smaller unit, so therefore leaks, I think, were less common in that group, and they tended to be better at protecting their property until the time was right, whereas Disney is like a sieve. And I mean, there's always leaks and whatever, I think some of it comes from the fact that the internet community is so poised and ready to discuss any little tidbit of information, and they can use that to their advantage in some ways too. If there's a project or something that, I think sometimes those things are leaked so that they can develop kind of a grassroots support, which I think may help, you know, which may be perceived as helpful within the organization sometimes. So, you know, I think it's very interesting. It will be interesting to see how this goes further in advance. We already knew about Rapunzel, so therefore the internet can continue to kind of dig at it. You know, it'll be interesting to see in the future when projects are developed now that Lasseter and Catmull are already in charge, to see how long it takes before new projects begin to find their way to the net.
We found out about this project because Disney needed to show that they have a fantastic animation slate coming about. They showed that little title card with the hair waving at least three annual meetings, and so it came out too early. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, would we might have known there's some scuttlebutt? Sure, but would we have been as invested in Rapunzel? Would we have noticed that they didn't mention Rapunzel? No, because it would have not been something that was really in the Disney fan community radar. Except that Disney needed to show that they have four or five. Glenn Keane is working on this fantastic movie and all this other stuff.
I thought it was important. Not important. It was interesting. One thing. It was important and interesting, actually, honey. Sweetheart.
Okay.
One thing you mentioned about how Disney might use that to their advantage by floating things out or whatever. Because we saw an interesting story in our local news here in Orlando this week about Disney, for the first time that I can recall, actually admitting that they do monitor the fan sites and the discussion boards and do at least take it into consideration in some of the decisions they make. I mean, an official person at a Disney meeting said that, and that was interesting stuff, especially for a website like ours.
I think it's exciting. I think it's an exciting time to be a Disney fan because thanks to the various internet groups and discussions and the Disney's own movement back into a more interactive online presence, I think fans have a better opportunity to present their voice, which means that those who are the most vocal will not necessarily be the only ones heard anymore. I think it provides more people the opportunity to share their thoughts and opinions on things, not just, you know, not just the squeakiest wheel will get the grease, maybe.
In other news, Captain John has returned, and just in time, because there has been a wealth of Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
Would that be a pile of booty?
Yes, indeed.
Beauty.
That's funny. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, clue us in, Captain.
You beat me to it.
I'm sorry.
You beat me to it, yeah. All right, the big news is that the actual, like, confirmation of a trailer actually existing has finally appeared.
Yeah, sure. We've heard that before.
But let me get my notes here. If you go to disney.go.com/DisneyPictures/pirates/@worldsend, you could get yourself a pirate player, which is actually a countdown to the release by the minute and second. So, you know, you can put that on your blog.
This is a countdown to the trailer?
To the trailer, which is premiering with Dancing with the Stars on May 19th.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right.
Okay, that's big news. May 19th? March 19th.
March 19th, sorry.
That's Monday.
Yeah.
Cool.
Set your VCRs.
And March 18th, across the nation.
What's a VCR?
It's like an old TiVo.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Captain.
And on March 18th, across the nation, they are holding the Ultimate Pirate Fan Event, which is where they're going to be showing the At World's End trailer, along with Curse of the Black Pearl, giving away stuff. The contest to actually attend these events has probably closed by this time. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what shows up from those events.
You said that's March 18th, this Sunday.
So it's before the trailer premieres to the general public.
March 18th, 2007. That date rings a bell in my head for some reason. Isn't that the 40th anniversary of the opening of Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
and
right,
you can go celebrate with a fantastic merchandise event over at the Disneyland Resort.
So where are those events being held, Captain?
We've got Boston, Chicago, Cincinnati, Dallas, Denver, Detroit, Houston, Kansas City, Los Angeles, Miami, New York, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Salt Lake City, and San Diego.
Orlando?
Miami.
Of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't have Anaheim listed either, so these are all areas where they don't feature a theme park.
They have Los Angeles.
But it's not okay. Los Angeles driving time is about the I'm kidding.
This, you know, one thing for that might be because this is a sort of contest type event, so they may not want extra attention from, you know.
So are these events anybody can go to? You have to win some contest to go to them? How's this work?
You know, it seems like some locations may have it open for all, but in general it is a contest event where you would have signed up at the Pirates fan website.
Okay.
Right, and for a chance to win into these events.
I have the, what's the word I'm looking for? Pleasure? No. Opportunity to...
Challenge.
Yeah, to attend the Miami screening.
All right.
And I'm sure it'll be worth my little four-hour drive down and four-hour drive back.
That's just enough time to watch Pirates too, actually.
I'll get one of those little internal DVD things in my car so that I don't know that's safe. I might fall asleep.
Now, when it comes...
Just to let you listeners know, Doobie and Fanboy are not actually the biggest Pirates 2 fans. I don't know particularly how they felt about the first film, but I know for the second film, they were not at all thrilled with it, and in fact were rather... vehement in their dislike of it.
Yes.
We always make sure we make a list of all of the movies we see in a given year and where they rank in our mind, and tucked in there at the bottom of the list was Pirates 2.
I don't know, what about The Wild?
I would rather see The Wild again than
that's
all
true.
17 hours.
See, now you know what I have to deal with at this podcast.
Sorry, guys.
Nobody wants me here.
Oh no, we want you.
You're much shorter.
But I'm associated with the Pirates, you know.
What else you got?
All right, when it comes to that pirate player again, once the countdown actually is finished, it'll actually play the trailer. So if you've posted it on your blog or website or whatever, it'll have the trailer appear. And then eventually it says that there will be additional content to appear. So
That's pretty cool. All from one little snippet on your website.
Mm-hmm.
These guys know how to market.
They call it a viral player.
Viral player, but if
that's
you
a nice name.
That's what I was thinking as I heard it.
But if you go,
I have an anti-viral player.
If you click on the button for the viral player, it calls it the pirate player. The actual thing itself is called the pirate player. So there's a little bit of,
I saw Outbreak. Although the monkey is in the movie.
It's the same one from Outbreak, isn't it?
It is.
And the Anaheim Angel Rally monkey.
Oh, yeah.
And the monkey from Friends. There's only one monkey in Hollywood.
It gets a lot of work. You know how hard it is to get a SAG card.
What other pirate news do you have, Captain John?
Yes, thank you very much. New photos have surfaced from At World's End at a Dutch fan site, www.potcfansite.nl. Very simple in comparison to the one to get to your pirate player.
NL stands for Netherlands. Just for as part of that education that we like to do here at Laughing
Place. DUH stands for duh. Continue, Captain.
You know what DD stands for? In case you're wondering, dumb.
That's why we don't record at 9 o'clock in the morning normally.
Now, the strange thing about this is that a lot of other news sites have posted links to this website, to all the photos, but it seems at the last time I checked, they still had the photos up while the other websites have been requested to take them down.
No so Disney lawyers, no Dutch.
Ronald Reagan?
Dog?
Ronald Reagan's nickname was Dutch.
That was the Gipper.
That was another one.
Oh.
No, the Gipper was a role he played.
Yes,
his
but
nickname
people called
was
him
Dutch.
That.
Well, those people aren't too smart.
I thought they called him the guy that knew where the microphone was on Disneyland opening day.
See, it has a Disney connection. This isn't out of nowhere. Okay. Sorry, Captain, you were saying?
All right. And, of course, because I was trying to figure out what they were saying about it, I translated it from Babelfish, and it's very funny to see. You know,
please read it verbatim.
13th March 2007. Photograph still more. Photograph still more has come to. This is just. Okay. Photograph still more has come to outside. Here find you them. Read more. Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
I love Babelfish.
Anyway.
All right. That'll be fun to edit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you guys find it so funny.
It is funny.
It's funny.
It's just the grammar of a language is different. I don't understand why it's funny. Sorry.
So it sounds funny.
Funny it is. I find it. You not? See?
Okay. It's funny when you speak English that way.
The force is strong with him. He must.
We're having a little bit too much fun. All right. So, yeah, merchandise for At World's End is also appearing on the shelves across the nation. Some action figures have appeared, it seems. I'm not entirely sure about, you know, the accuracy of this information here, but I have heard reports about some toys coming out from At World's End. Also, books have appeared on Amazon for pre-order by T.T. Sutherland. Various books about the At World's End story. So they come out April 10th, according to Amazon.com. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what sort of plot tidbits we get out of that. Sometimes they could be, you know, it depends on which way they want to go. Because sometimes when it comes to movie books, they sort of keep it sort of secret. But, you know, this could be, you know, very revealing for the plot of the film. And that appears to be pretty much it for the Pirate Support. It's a lot of stuff, but, you know.
And the movie comes out when?
May 25th.
And what, you figure you'll see it after about 2 or 3 weeks in when the crowds kind of died down?
No, I'll probably be there at midnight on
May 20. Yeah,
dressed in pirate gear.
And
then don't forget, also at Disneyland this weekend on Sunday, March 18th, is going to be the Imagineers who.
Oh, that's right.
Imagineers like Alice Davis and Exitencio and Bob Gurr. There's going to be a signing and a special appearance, but they ask that no personal items be brought. They're going to have merchandise available, and you can have those signed at that time. So there's more information about that at DisneyGallery.com.
DisneyGallery.com.
Along with information about the May 20th event here at Walt Disney World celebrating Pirates of the Caribbean.
I have a feeling we've got like 2 solid months of Pirates ahead of us.
But it's going to seem like 6 months.
Almost makes me want to take a cruise to the Caribbean to escape it.
There'll be a cliffhanger at the end.
I'm going to hold you to that.
And as if
you all heard it, he said he's going to take me to the Caribbean on a cruise.
We haven't had enough, Captain. To
wait, so did you say Caribbean or did you say Caribbean?
I said Caribbean.
Okay, just
it's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Just wanted to make sure. Yeah, some people say it both ways. It's
when
like
you're
we're
there,
gonna, it's like it's Pirates of the Caribbean, but we're going to go to the Caribbean.
It's true.
Yep,
because
exactly.
We were talking about it, I say Caribbean, but normally I would have said we're going to the Caribbean. So I prefer the Caribbean spelling, actually. Anyway, all right, Captain, we're not done with you yet because it is. Time for the Captain's Challenge.
I think we're missing something.
Yeah.
Fanboy?
It's in the car.
Okay, we'll hold him to it.
It's okay, I'll win again.
All right, because of the news of Walt Disney World's Haunted Mansion getting refurbished, I thought I'd throw out a question about the Haunted Mansion.
Yo, Gracie.
Who plays the ghost host?
Beep.
Pip.
Oh, hey, that was Doobie.
That was Doobie.
Paul Freeze.
You are correct.
Go get my medal right now. All right, I'll wait, but it's mine.
All right, so far everybody, you know, has gotten their turn at this, so, you know.
We are so egalitarian.
Now for the listeners, who played, who supplied the narration for the Phantom Manor?
None of you answer. It's None for the listeners.
Okay.
Doobie and Fanboy are bursting to tell us.
And the key word here is originally, not how it is now, how it is originally.
Well, no, let me go ask Tim Burton. You get the connection? You get it? Get it?
No.
Okay. We'll talk about it later.
You sure it's not Tim Curry?
No, he's the guy that...
sang Davy Crockett.
Yes, he did. The British guy that sang Davy Crockett.
And who did the costumes?
Michael Curry.
One day.
You cannot keep that straight.
Green curry is something you get at the Chinese restaurant.
And yellow curry is something you don't enjoy that's, you know, Indian-style food.
I like Indian food. Let's move across.
American Native Americans or India like the country?
The country.
Okay.
India.
If I like Native American food, I would have said
where
like
where the
Native
elephants American have food. Smaller ears.
Yes.
Oh, touche.
Jungle Cruise teaches you a lot.
6 years of high school. You too.
Did you know that a tiger can jump 20 feet?
25 feet.
Oh, sorry, 25 feet.
I've heard 15, I've heard 25, I've never heard 20. You don't like the Jungle Cruise.
No, I don't. Worst attraction in the Magic Kingdom.
Which means it'll leap right over our boat.
It'll leap right over the boat.
That's bizarre that you don't like the Jungle Cruise.
Okay, Mr. I don't like Pirates of the Caribbean.
That makes sense.
I just don't like what that makes.
You know,
First of all, I spend a lot of time with you. Anyone that hears this podcast knows what kind of humor we like. How can you not like the Jungle Cruise?
Exactly.
I see that there's a skipper on every boat, and I just look at the labor that's wasted, and I go, you know, Dumbo, that's a crowd pleaser. That takes two cast members. How many Dumbos we could build if we just shut down the Jungle Cruise?
Okay, Paul.
I know, dude. Wrestlerizing.
I always think it's Ching, aren't you?
Cha-ching.
I got my Bucks and Jewish here.
Poor Paul. Poor Pressler becomes an adjective in the Disney fan
community. I know, the guy doesn't even have a job right now either.
You know, it's funny, you never thought the Gap community and the Disney community would have a terminology in common, but apparently we do, because they love him just as much as we do.
In case you missed it, Paul Pressler, the former head of Disneyland and then Disney theme parks overall, and then the CEO of the Gap, is now out of a job, although undoubtedly he will be heading some other company soon.
Get him on this podcast.
That's a good idea. Good. We've met him several times, and he's quite a nice guy.
Nice guy, but boy, he always looks so uncomfortable up on stage. You would talk to him, and he'd be like really, you know, easygoing and really pleasant, and then he'd get on stage, and he'd be like stiff as a board.
It's amazing.
It's so funny.
I mean, some people are like that. I mean, Jay Rizzullo, Paul Pressler.
Mm-hmm.
They don't look, Bob Iger for that matter, maybe until recently, don't look all that comfortable on stage.
No.
Whereas Michael Eisner, Cynthia Harris.
John Lasseter,
Dick Cook, they're just like so at ease up there, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, probably says absolutely nothing about how well they do their job. But it's just interesting to see how some people love it up there and some people don't.
And for some people, that's the only time you see them. And so that's where you get, you know, it's that connection that is what you define
right.
them. So.
Right, which, again, doesn't necessarily say anything about how well they do their job. Fanboy?
I'm leaving that one alone.
Smart man. Let's go back to Disney World. There's a couple of little tidbits we wanted to talk about. One, I think, is a big surprise to me anyway, considering what I heard about the success of it. The Pirates and Princess parties are coming back, not only are they're coming back soon. They're going to have 8 dates, which is down from 13, but 8 dates in August and early September. Does that surprise anyone?
Yeah, it surprises me a little bit. In some ways, it doesn't, because I think the Pirate and Princess brands, for lack of a better word, I really don't like to use
that. That's the word they use.
I know. But are so popular that this seems like a win. This seems like a no-brainer event, and yet I think because of the time frame when they had them, they weren't a very big seller. Based on them, I don't know the numbers, but I know that considering the rather aggressive marketing for it, I mean, you couldn't go anywhere on Walt Disney World property without seeing a Pirate and Princess flyer. And I know from cast members I've spoken to that they were really pushing, you know, hey, special cast member tickets are all, you know, available and whatnot. And then this was the first party that I can remember ever going to where we were at the party and it, you know, it was like 5 minutes till it was going to start because, you know, we were in the Magic Kingdom already. And they had announcements over the system saying, you know, tonight is our Pirate and Princess party. Go to City Hall, buy your tickets now.
That was,
you know,
the first
kind of
one
thing.
Too.
And that's the first time I've ever heard that type of thing. So I'm happy to see that they're going to give it another try in a different time frame, because I do think that it's something that could be successful and something that can appeal to families with boys and girls.
That's the one thing that's interesting about how they're doing it in the same year at a different time. Because I would have figured that if they were going to try it again, they would have tried like a year afterwards.
Right. But right now, Pirates and Princesses are hot. Who knows what's going to be in a year? Yes, Fanboy.
My sources tell me that the reason that they weren't successful was because they didn't do enough marketing. So
your sources are joking, right?
My sources are not joking. So expect, you know, I guess, think DBC probably.
I know, there's only one secret bigger than Pirates.
No, but the Pirate and Princess party, if you think about it, you didn't see a lot of marketing, like in the general area. You saw it once you were at Walt Disney World.
I saw billboards.
I saw just a couple, and then I did hear one ad on Radio Disney.
Well, the interesting thing is that like halfway through the promotions, it seemed like they changed their like ad campaign for it.
Definitely.
Because you saw at first you had like, you know, the little kids in the costumes, and all of a sudden you saw later the billboards featuring, you know, the rough and tough looking pirates and stuff. So it seems like they were sort of shifting gears towards which audience they're going to. So it'll be sort of funny to see what changes they do to the event itself.
Now, do these dates overlap with the Magical Beginnings? No, they don't call them that this year. The program,
Little Ones Travel Time?
Yeah, the program that they have for preschoolers with the Playhouse Disney concerts. Didn't they shift that up, or did they shift it back? I can't remember. Do you guys remember if they shifted the dates down to September, October versus the August, September?
Looks like the Magical Beginnings doesn't begin until September 6th, and I believe the last Pirate Princess party is September 3rd or 4th, so not quite overlapping. My question is, this is kind of at the tail end of summer. Is this going to cause the Magic Kingdom to close any earlier than it otherwise would on any of those dates, or though is it going to be after the normal closing times?
Disney World, unlike Disneyland, their summer season ends earlier. Usually around August 15th, they're done and back to sort of off-season hours. So you might be losing a couple hours, but it's not like they're doing it in the middle of July. Disney World summer season starts earlier and ends earlier.
Okay. Well, hopefully it will be a success. I actually quite enjoyed the party, as we talked about before, and the fireworks were really, really awesome. Mm-hmm. So
I'm so looking forward to seeing those fireworks again.
Yeah, so hopefully they can find a good time slot for it, and it'll work, and maybe, you know, they can find something else to do in that other and now vacant late February and March time slot. Any ideas?
Arena football.
You know, another event that got moved. ESPN The Weekend originally was not in March, right?
Correct.
I don't remember when it was. And
it
then
was
they had
in the fall.
And then they had another one quickly in March, and now they annually do them in March, and that's been a huge success. So maybe they know what they're doing, and this will work out.
And Star Wars Weekends, whenever, like in May, usually.
Those were in May.
Yeah, those got moved this year because there's a big Star Wars-sponsored Star Wars convention in L.A. in May, so they moved it after that as to not conflict.
Which was very smart.
Mm-hmm. They know what they're doing here. And then
what?
And another exciting but minorly puzzling news, Disney's announced, or Disney's put up, that Haunted Mansion is going under a lengthy refurbishment, which is wonderful. But it's running from June 6th through September 12th, which,
wow,
I don't care how you move the dates, that does conflict with the summer season.
Wow.
So that's just a little bit strange. What do you think?
My understanding is that they really couldn't wait till the off season for this refurbishment.
They're just so excited about it.
Yeah.
Captain Depression. pressure to the sound system over there.
I hope they do something with that, please. Tell me that.
This screams.
Tell me that's on the agenda. It screams.
It screams.
Ah! It screams safety.
Disney would never close an attraction for safety reasons.
I'm not trying to be like a...
Wait, no, what was that?
No, I'm not trying to be like an alarmist or whatever, but to see a major e-ticket attraction go under a refurbishment during the summer months, and it seems to be kind of a short notice. I mean, it's not something that's been posted for a while, I guess, right? This is new information.
Right.
It screams to me that there's something that needs to be taken care of that's more of that they need to take care of it in order to maintain the safety
and
of the
attraction.
Not something
little, because this is a 3 month.
It's not like, I mean, it's not like, wow, that sound system's really bad, so let's just close it down during the summer.
On the other hand, it can't be that big a deal, because it is going to be open for the next 3 months.
Right. Totally. No, there are things.
Wait.
Well, that's a good question. Why not close it now through June?
My understanding...
Oh, that's a good point.
My understanding
maybe
is
weather.
That this refurbishment was originally scheduled for next year, and that they found out that it needed to be done this year, and that they're deciding to make a full refurbishment, not just take care of the issues that need to be taken care of, but do a full refurbishment of it, do some enhancement to the attraction, so in order to get all their ducks aligned, and it's not something that needs to be fixed today, like Space Mountain. But it's something that needed to be taken care of. It couldn't wait, because they can't, even if they went through the summer, they couldn't close it in October because of Halloween.
Right.
And then you get into Christmas, so it'd have to wait another year, and I don't believe they wanted to wait that long.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm not trying to say that it's about to fall apart on somebody's head. That's not what I mean. I'm just saying that it's something that they can see. There's some sort of, you know, as far as I understand construction, and I'm not any type of, you know.
No, you're not.
No, not at all. But there's things where you can see, like, stress use or whatever, and you can gauge how long something needs to run. And that's my feeling on this, purely based on nothing but surprise. E-ticket attraction closed during the summer. That's it. So no place, no stock in it. I'm going to Magic Kingdom. I will ride the attraction with no concern.
Yeah, it's just funny.
Maybe eventually we'll get that creepy bride with the axe, like in California. Maybe. Or maybe a Jack Sparrow figure to go along with all the other promotions.
I hope we get that floating Leota.
The floating Leota, yeah.
That was cool out in California.
That was cool.
That was pretty amazing.
And maybe Brigham Young's hearse.
Did we ever, was that ever finally decided, that debate?
Yes, it was finally decided. I'm saying that's Brigham Young's hearse. So
and you would be wrong.
According to whom?
Brigham Young's family. He didn't have a hearse.
Yeah, this was the debate.
Of course not, because we got it.
No.
So we're at Disneyland.
Just because it's on the toy box does not mean it's accurate.
For those of you who don't know, for a long time...
And that's not the center of Disneyland.
The standing history was that the hearse outside of the Disneyland's Haunted Mansion was the Brigham Young hearse. And I know that it's been a topic of debate for some time, and I think I remember seeing at some point an article that it said that it was confirmed that it was not true, but... I don't know.
Is that really Herb Ryman's tree?
No, it's not.
Why do they leave the one spire unpainted?
Because they painted it. They painted it for the 50th anniversary.
You are ruining everything. Walt Disney, frozen in the cone shop.
No, he's frozen underneath Pirates of the Caribbean, you fool.
I thought it was underneath the partner statue.
No, that's where the dream machine is.
Yeah.
But they
the
used
pirate statue is going to launch any day now.
But they used to say that's where Walt, that's what people used to tell me, was that's where Walt was. He was underneath
I want to win a car. I want to win a car. A block of ice with a man in it?
That man was Walt.
Now, which celebration? That was the 35th?
Yeah.
For the 35th, there was this machine in the center, in that garden area in front of the castle that's circular.
Hi, Doug.
Known as the hub. And, that's where they had this machine, and the car would pop up. If you won the car, it would appear from beneath the ground. And I guess that same location is where now the partner statue stands, and some say that the machine is still underneath the partner statue. So we
actually know a guy who won a Geo Metro from that, and as far as we know, he still drives that thing.
Oh, what's his screen name? He posts on
Park
the boards.
Park Hopper.
Park Hopper,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, they did it for the 30th and 35th. One was the Dream Machine and one was the Gift Giver. Does anyone remember?
Oh, I don't remember which was which.
I think finally we realized giving away prizes as part of a celebration.
It's just
really
silly.
Work.
And we're never going to do that again.
Right.
And then you guys mentioned, oh, and then referring to Disney, one of my favorite, all-time favorite cartoons that's really tasteless was...
Whoa, time out, family show.
But no, it's just, it was this family, and it says, Disney on Ice, and then it shows this family, mother, father. The father looks horrified, the kids look really sad, and it's like Walt Disney, just in this block of ice. And it was just in the paper one time, and I just was like, dude.
I hear that's going to be the pre-show for High School Musical, The Ice Tour.
Speaking of hilarity, which is what we're doing right now,
really?
I got to see Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor this week.
And?
Because it's not open. It opens April 2nd, and we'll all see it then and talk about it then, so we don't want to spend a whole lot more time on it. But I got to see the soft opening, which is probably pretty much the show, I'm guessing. And I got to say, it's not so bad.
Really?
Does that mean it's good? Or does that mean it's not as bad as it used to be?
After seeing what I saw at the media events and hearing endless complaints about it, I went in there just expecting, okay, I got to do this. I got to see what's going on. And no, it was funny. And
you
it would
help.
It was a small showing. There were maybe only 30 people in there. It was the first show of the day. But they were so into it. I mean, they were, what did they say? Whenever they say something about humans and they all raise their hands and go, every single person in the theater was doing it. And it makes a big difference.
Was it a lot of families?
No, they were actually not. They were older people. I mean, you know, like my age, which is not real old, but...
Yeah,
little,
no, I understand.
Middle-aged.
Okay.
Not a lot of kids. And the people who, when the camera would get on them, they were having fun. I mean, I'm surprised. When we saw it at Media Day, they were definitely not into it. And
right.
I mean, that tells me...
Because they were the
jokes weren't especially better. It tells me it's just all about the crowd. You get a good crowd, and you're going to have a good time. Hmm.
I think their process of lowering expectations might have actually worked.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a great attraction, but hearing how I felt before, there's hope is what I got
to
say.
But how does it compare now to the Crush experience? I mean, if you were to put, because those are the most directly comparable.
I did Crush about 2 weeks ago for the first time in a long time, and that's not as good as I remember it being. So they're getting closer together, I feel. Maybe in a couple years they'll pass each other going in opposite directions.
Okay.
All right. It's nice to see that two very mediocre attractions are getting put right next to each other in the same place.
Are you saying the Astro Jets are mediocre?
Stitch's Great Escape.
Oh, yeah.
Astro Jets, how retro.
Mediocre's kind.
Right across the street. You know, they're keeping it all in the same place. Tomorrowland as a whole.
Well, it's easy to know what to skip.
Did you notice that you just mentioned and admitted that Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor is going to open?
What's your point there, fanboy?
Didn't you, on our year-beginning prediction show, mention that you didn't believe Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor Comedy Club?
Yeah, I'm not afraid to make bold predictions, and sometimes those don't come true.
Has the ABC radio deal gone through yet?
Come on, would any moron knew that wasn't going to happen?
Don't say that.
Proof just positive saying. Right over there. Moving on. The topic that just won't die.
Walt Disney.
But it's an interesting topic. The Four Seasons, the big announcement a few weeks ago that we keep talking about because it keeps being interesting. It's also really hot on our board still. The announcement that Disney and Four Seasons are going to
create a luxury resort at the Bonnet Creek area of the property.
And we got one email I wanted to read briefly from Billy in Connecticut.
I love Billy in Connecticut.
He says, part of his email says, like I said, I'm sure it's a very nice place, but it would have been nice to see Disney try and take themselves to that next level, even if they had failed in the past. By creating their own spectacular resort and golf community, it would have had all of the Disney perks from the DVC could have had and been part of the resort. And now Disney loses a golf course. Why would they want to do that? I think Disney could have come up with a resort that had the Disney feel, but it was also high-end. Just recently, I read back in 2001, they wanted to put a 61-acre resort built by them along Eagle Pines. The project was unnamed since it was announced, and so what happened? Did they scrape that project for this one? Right now, it just makes no sense to me, and I don't like it. But as time goes on, I guess we will learn more as to why they did it. Thanks, Billy in Connecticut, for that. And
amen, brother.
Are you familiar with that project he's referring to?
Yes, that was a DVC project that the whatever they called it.
No,
the Eagle Pride Resort. Yeah, that's what makes this whole thing just seem. That's what I'm looking for. Stupid.
Well. One of our contributors, one of our regular contributors now, to both the podcast and the website, Greg Miletic, also has some thoughts on why this may have happened, and he definitely has a different take on this, so let's give Greg a listen.
Hey, Doobie, Rebecca, Fanboy, and Captain John. This is Greg Miletic out in San Francisco, and I was going to address a couple of topics this week. The first one is a topic that you guys have already devoted quite a bit of time to. It's the whole Four Seasons Resort at Walt Disney World topic, and I apologize for bringing it up once again, but I guess I have an opinion about it that I hadn't heard elsewhere, and I thought I'd mention it here and see what you guys thought. The general opinion on this thing from most Disney fans seems to be range from mildly negative to incredibly negative, and the tenor of most of the argument seems to be, well, why did Disney feel the need to go out and find someone to help them reach this high end of the market? I mean, couldn't Disney really pretty much do that on their own? I think that argument actually misses the point, or at the very least, I think it might be the wrong argument to be making. I have a hypothesis about how it could have happened, and it's somewhat different. So let me just throw this out and see what you think. Suppose for a minute that Disney hears that Four Seasons is going to build a hotel in Orlando. They're just going to build it somewhere in Orlando. Certainly Orlando is a big enough place that it could sustain one, even if you completely neglect Walt Disney World. So Disney has this problem now, or at least a question. They can let Four Seasons build a hotel somewhere in Orlando and essentially get no revenue from it. The alternative is they could offer Four Seasons a spot on property and make money off Four Seasons and the Four Seasons guests. Now, given the opportunity between no money and some money, I think that choosing to let Four Seasons on the property, it actually makes a lot of sense. Using that logic, you would allow everything on the property, Holiday Inn, Red Roof Inn, Motel 6, it wouldn't matter. But here's what's different about this. Four Seasons has such a great reputation for quality that Disney doesn't have to worry about whether the hotel will live up to its standards or not. So they can take that whole issue off the table. By letting Four Seasons on the property, they essentially can capture income that they would just be completely escaping them otherwise. They get some nice high-spending consumers on board and get them into the Disney fold. They get a nice resort on property. We'll probably get a couple of nice restaurants out of it as well. And so I think this is potentially a pretty positive thing. I mean, I don't think Disney did it because they needed any hand-holding in the hotel business. They did it because it was an opportunity to make money, and I think they went for it. And I think that's totally fine.
Thanks very much, Greg. You know, I know he's just purely speculating there, but the one interesting thing regarding that is in Celebration, there was a sign on some property forever saying Four Seasons Hotel, which is no longer there. And maybe he's onto something. Maybe Four Seasons was going to build there, and Disney thought, hey, let's find a way to get in on this. Anybody else got any thoughts?
It's an interesting perspective I hadn't thought of. So I appreciate Greg, you know, bringing that up to us. But I'm still sad if that's what they decided to do, because I think that that's part of what Magic Mornings and Magical Express and all the various resort add-ons, the dining plan, those are what Disney has traditionally been using to court people onto property. So I'm sad if that's what brought them to do this, if they, you know, saw competition and brought it in-house, because I still think that I would rather have seen Disney themselves do something. But on the flip side, I mean, I've been thinking about it. On the flip side, they've got this new wedding gown line.
Right.
That's Disney, but yet it's being done by somebody else who has a name within the couture wedding industry. And so, you know, so in that way, I'm wondering if it's kind of a similar concept of, you know, here's this established name. Let's partner with them so that we bring that to our guests.
Most definitely.
I mean, this is the same logic they used for that whole Starwood thing that ended up being the Swan and Dolphin. Mm-hmm. So, and that's, I mean, I think most people, including Bob Iger, admit that was not perhaps the best outcome. And so I'm weary. I mean, if it could end up being fine, and I'm not poo-pooing the whole concept specifically. It just seems like there's no purpose of it. Four Seasons, I mean, J.W. Marriott built one here. Ritz-Carlton built one here. Why is Four Seasons different?
Well, the Four Seasons, like I said, perhaps was going to be in Celebration, which is even closer. I mean, it's practically on property. But
Disney would have had a piece of that, too. I mean, when they announced that, that was Disneyland. I mean, that there's no part of Celebration had been sold yet in terms of, so, you know, if they meant that much to them, they could have built that there, you know, kept that as Disney selling it to Four Seasons. That would have been fine.
Right. Greg always has an interesting perspective, and we're going to hear a little more from him now. And this one, if the last one was out there, this one is really out there. Let's hear it.
The second topic I wanted to bring up had to do with Fanboy's great analysis, I think it was last week, about Disney consolidating around three different brands, Disney, ABC, and ESPN. And they're doing this because after many years of working at this, Disney has finally figured out what a family film is supposed to be like, thanks to Pirates of the Caribbean. They have a formula now by which they can make a movie and really parlay it into all the different things they do, be it merchandise, theme park attractions, Disney on Ice, whatever, TV shows, they can really exploit those things with this kind of synergy they have. They've always had it, but I think they have a clue now as to how they could really evolve it even further. That makes a lot of sense. And you can see why a brand like Touchstone might be going by the wayside, because the kind of movies that Touchstone makes don't easily fit into this nice synergy formula. I mean, most Touchstone films, it isn't obvious how to build a attraction out of them. It isn't obvious how to sell merchandise from them. And you can see that given a fixed amount of capital, that perhaps making those kinds of films doesn't make the most sense for Disney. ABC makes sense. It makes sense that a company that produces as much visual entertainment as Disney would want a TV network to get that out on. So I can totally buy the fact that they could leverage ABC and make that worthwhile. But the thing I don't understand as well is ESPN. ESPN is certainly a great brand and has made a lot of money over the years. But to me, I don't really see the synergy between ABC, Disney, and ESPN as the third leg of that triangle. Disney doesn't make any ESPN theme park rides. I don't think they've done any movies that have been branded ESPN. There's a bit of synergy between ABC Sports and ESPN, but, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah, ESPN's a great brand, but that just means that you could sell it for that much more. And that's what I think perhaps Disney should be doing, is selling ESPN. It feels more like Touchstone to me in this equation in terms of being something that doesn't really fit into the Disney ecosystem as it seems to be designed. So anyway, I wanted to get your opinion on that. Is ESPN something that Disney should bother holding on to? And I will leave it at that and hopefully talk to you guys in the near future. Thanks.
Well, since apparently you paid him a few dollars to give you a compliment there, we'll let you speak first, Fanboy.
Well, I would have to disagree with the selling of ESPN. There's been talk of spinning it off, but ESPN is a very strong brand. It's a worldwide leader in sports, and I don't think many people could contest that. But what Disney's done is they took what was a cable network and have expanded it. Yeah, there's not ESPN movies yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if ESPN Films rears its head in the not-too-distant future.
There have been ESPN Films. Original Entertainment. Dale Earnhardt film, which was a success.
And theatrically, they did release an X Games film.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's not the key focus right now, but it's going to happen. And they've also expanded it to things like ESPN Radio. They made a priority. Disney is an expert at extending their content to various platforms, so whether it's Disney on Disney.com, ABC.com, ESPN.com. And what Disney does is Disney – the folks working on Disney.com just don't work at Disney.com. They work for Disney.com, ABC.com, ESPN.com. They share similar technology. You might not notice that, but they do. And as well, when it comes to getting Disney Channel on cable networks, they don't sell Disney Channel. They sell Disney Channel and ESPN. So by having a variety of content that they sort of do as a bulk, they're able to gain leverage in the market. Same thing with ESPN, the magazine that's put together, you know, somewhat with family fun and Wonder Time. And, you know, I mean, ABC has no sports division anymore. It's ESPN does it. Wide World of Sports use, well, it's not called ESPN the place. They leverage ESPN very highly. And Bass, which ESPN owned, is now located here. It's very much integrated into Disney culture. And I think that would be a mistake.
No, I think there's a very strong value with ESPN because of the it's another form of family entertainment. It's something that families do together in sports. I mean, whether it's, you know, watching the football games together or baseball or whatnot. I mean, I think it's something, and that's something that I loved about ESPN the weekend was, I mean, there was a family standing right there in front of the sorcerer hat. It appeared to be three generations. The older man looked to be maybe in his 60s, wearing a Mets jersey, and a younger man maybe in his 30s and a 10-year-old. It looked like grandpa, dad, and son all there together, ESPN the weekend. And when you think about Disney films and the family films, they've got Remember the Titans and Miracle. These brands, these films if they own ESPN, then any of the footage that they're showing is still in house. And to me, that's a bonus rather than highlighting. I mean, if ESPN the weekend was somebody else, it totally changes the feel of the event to me. Rather than it being, you know, yet another arm of Disney here celebrating at the resort.
And Walt Disney Parks and Resorts does operate the ESPN Zone. So while there's no Disney theme parks per se, there is Disney themed entertainment. I mean, ESPN themed entertainment. So,
She already said it.
But the thing about ESPN, I love ESPN. I'd hate to see it. So I guess for me, there's an emotional bond there too.
Especially now that we have the AFL Arena Football, it's just whole new. I mean, with their Jack Daniels first downs and their Discover Card touchdowns.
Just broadcast their first Monday night game, and Fanboy Doobie and myself, we were there, and that was interesting.
If I had a nickel for how many times you mentioned AFL in this episode alone.
It was a highlight of my week.
It was. You would not believe how many advertising impressions you can get in 3 hours at an arena football game.
But you know what was missing from that? I did not see one impression of the best-kept Disney secret.
Give it time.
Well, long story short, Disney is an entertainment company. ESPN and sports is entertainment, so...
I wouldn't want to see them sell in ESPN. I would want to see them use the brand more. Why do you think it's possible, Fanboy, in the future we might see a movie like Miracle coming out as an ESPN branded film rather than a Disney fan?
Absolutely. I think the only reason we haven't is because of the focus that's being placed right now on sort of streamlining the Motion Picture Group. If we were doing 2008, 2009 predictions, I would say Disney will launch ESPN films.
Wasn't Hustle also an ESPN film?
Yes.
The Pete Rose story?
Oh, yeah.
That was also EOE.
Yeah, and they had one on poker, and they had others as well.
I think
Bob Knight one.
The hard
Playmakers, which is a great show.
The hardest part on that, I think, is if it's a good sports movie, it could probably be a Disney Pictures movie as well. And so where would you want to play that? Would you want it to be a Disney movie, or would you want it to be an ESPN movie? Maybe if you're talking maybe a harder sports movie, maybe, you know, a PG-13 sports movie.
Playmaker's the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I see that happening.
But on something else picking up on something else Greg mentioned, and that is Disney spreading out their arms as far as utilizing their successes such as Pirates. Pirates on Ice, Captain. What do you think of Pirates of the Caribbean on Ice? That was an interesting just little tidbit Greg tossed out there.
That could work, although it's sort of funny to think of pirates sailing over ice rather than water.
Can you imagine? I wonder if it would work, because I think of on ice shows as being, you know, kind of girl-friendly.
I'm still trying to figure out how to
Everybody loves the Captain Jack Sparrow, you know, so you get that audience coming in already. No, but the one thing is, like, most Disney Ice shows are very musical, and what could you... So, you're sort of... So it's like you've got Yo-Ho, and what else would you put out there?
You've got the whole Peter Pan soundtrack.
Peter Pan, yeah.
Pirates of Penzance.
when we saw Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, they didn't only use music right. from the classic film.
Right.
So you could...
You could never outfox the fox.
Yeah, they use that, which I know from Court Jester, a Danny Kaye film. So they use that, what the prince was dancing around to that. I don't know why.
That sounds like fun. I wish I was there.
He's so adventurous.
One more question for Fanboy, back on the ESPN topic. Do you think it seems like a no-brainer. Why is Wide World of Sports not the ESPN place to play or whatever you want to call it?
Well, the only reason I can think of is that when part of the reason the Wide World Sports Complex is there is to televise sporting events from. And they want it to be known as Disney's Wide World of Sports so that when they say, you know, like, just like they say Amway Arena or whatever, Staples Center, that they get Disney in there because that's the location of it. Could I see that being rebranded? Sure. I mean, remember, the Wide World of Sports is not what it was supposed to be. It's evolved into this sort of amateur complex. It was supposed to be a cornerstone for a theme park, a sports, you know, an ESPN-themed theme park that was going to be there. So, you know, the naming might even sort of just be hitched up in the fact that that was not really the final version of it.
Thanks.
And you might see that theme park again.
Are you announcing a fifth park?
No, I'm not. But I'm not saying it's dead either.
That'd be quite a niche. It'd be interesting to see how you could get that to have a general appeal.
Well, aren't we trying to build niche parks now?
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Instead of swimming with the dolphins, you like play baseball with Pete Rose or something. Mm-hmm. I bet that could happen.
Maybe you bet on your team with Pete Rose.
Or take HGH with Gary Matthews Jr.
Let me get a quick yes or no poll from you guys. Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame.
No.
No.
Never.
You've been listening to way too much sports radio.
No, I'm with you on there.
At some point, every talk show has to mention Pete Rose, right?
Of course.
Next week, are we talking about the Kennedy assassination?
Next week, we're talking HGH, steroid probe. Okay. Captain's Challenge, want to reread the question and give us the answer, please?
Who originally supplied the narration for Phantom Manor? And the keyword there is originally.
Ding.
Go for it.
I think it was Vincent Price.
I would agree.
You are correct. And I would say the replacement, but I'm going to slaughter the pronunciation terribly.
Is it in French?
Gerard Chevalier?
Chevalier?
Yes.
I don't know.
I think it's pronounced Depardieu.
I'm assuming it would be like that.
You should babblefish it.
See.
And the obtuse reference I was making earlier is that Tim Burton, while he was at Disney, made Vincent a stop animation film about Vincent Price.
Okay.
Dude, that redefines obtuse.
Well, it's over 90 degrees, less than 180.
But see, if you put that name to Battlefish, it comes out as Photograph Still More has come to outside. Here you find them. Read more.
Hey, you got through it that time.
Yes, I did. I made it.
Photographs Still More. Photographs Still More.
Podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408. As you can see, we play what you send us. We read what you send us. We love to hear from you. Podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408. Any final words from Rebecca?
I'm going to Disneyland.
That's right. We're going to Disneyland this weekend. No, actually, we're going to Palm Springs this weekend. We'll be at Disneyland on Monday. So.
Yep, just for a day, unfortunately. So we'll have to hit the high points. I want to see Monsters, Inc. at DCA, which I haven't seen yet. And I want to catch Billy Hill and the Hillbillies because I really miss them.
Definitely Billy Hill.
And want to have some food at Napa Rose.
Definitely Napa Rose.
What else? What's on your list, Doobie?
I want to see Billy Hill, and I want to have some food at Napa Rose, and I want to see Monsters, Inc.
Oh, Casey Jr. I miss Casey Jr.
I want to go to Storytellers, too. We should do lunch there.
I think you can.
Okay, that sounds good.
No, you can't.
I'm just looking forward. I mean, I don't miss Disneyland, per se, but I'm looking forward to just being at the Disneyland Resort again. It's fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what's changed since we've been there. I'm looking forward to seeing the castle with no crowns on it.
You know what I'm really looking forward to?
What?
The parking structure.
Parking structure. Mickey and Friends.
So you don't get those out
Mickey
here.
Mickey and Friends.
No, we just get parking garages.
Where?
Universal.
Orlando.
Yeah, but here at Disney World, there's not one single parking structure for guest use, is there?
Not for guest use, and there's only one parking structure at all.
Yeah, and that's not for guest use, so... I'm looking forward to making friends. I think of all the things at Disneyland, that's the single thing I missed.
You know they have coverings over the escalators.
I remember when they added those.
I remember the whole story behind adding those. Speaking of...
What about Space Mountain Pirates?
Pirates!
Oh, yeah,
we have to see the new Pirates. And I'm not sure if I'm going to do Space Mountain, because I have a tendency towards motion sickness, and I would hate to ruin my day by getting sick on space.
Yeah, but maybe Rockin' California Screamin'.
Maybe. Also, I'm not a big fan of this whole Red Hot Chili Pepper thing.
I hope Aladdin's running. I wouldn't mind seeing Aladdin again.
Oh, dude.
Apparently.
Fanboy.
You're excited,
final words.
At least.
Quickly, for those keeping track, Pirates DVD board game, good. Lost board game, not good.
Bad.
Unless you've got
bad.
Like 3 days. You could watch Pirates of the Caribbean twice in the time it takes to learn.
We actually had an extra hour. Cause, I mean, I know every family has different traditions for daylight savings time. But here we like to play board games. Then when we get tired, we start watching DVDs. And so we got the Pirates DVD game and the Lost board game. So we had an extra hour because we sprang forward and we gave up. It was bad.
It's bad when the instructions tell you go to this website to check for further updates of rules.
If you had to build the board first, then you know it's a problem.
Dude, if you know how to play Lost the Game and can describe it in a paragraph or less, please, podcast at laughingplace.com.
And on the flip side, that Pirates DVD game, that was a lot of fun.
That was pretty cool. And I learned how to play Clue.
Oh, that's
yes,
right.
We taught him Haunted Mansion Clue.
Yeah, my first time playing Clue.
And I explained to you that it irritates me that the ghosts are a reverse image. The little tokens.
You're
they're
so
backwards.
You're
they're
so
backwards.
Anal.
They don't point with their left hand. They point with their right hand.
That's true.
Well, they
you know
saw,
why? Because
they
the
saw them in a mirror.
The person that that created them only had soaps to work from.
Oh. So.
If you get that reference, let us know. Captain John, any final words?
Photographs still. No, just kidding. No, I think that's pretty much it for me.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Go spend some green money at a Disney theme park. And
that sounds.
And
like
don't forget fanboy. To fill out your brackets, although by the time you hear this, it'll be too late.
Fanboy, who do you got winning it all?
UCLA. Bite.
Yeah, me too, Rebecca.
I think I might have somebody. I think I might have Kansas.
It's not UCLA?
I don't think I have UCLA.
Oh, that's not good.
You don't count.
I don't remember who I have.
It's been a pleasure working with Rebecca on the podcast for the last few episodes.
It's been a pleasure being married to Rebecca for the past few years.
I'm not going to pick UCLA. You two will pick UCLA, little Bruin boys.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're going to Disneyland.
Woohoo!